Congratulations. You've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste in tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Will prevail at all times.
Yeah, well, that's why you're consistently disappointed.
Hey, I'm not disappointed. I'm just, you know, underwhelmed.
Yeah, I think that that's the same thing.
The truth, no. Those are key. Underwhelmed.
Whelmed is when you're average. Overwhelmed is when you're better than average.
Can you really just...
And underwhelmed is less than average.
So can you really just be whelmed?
Well, you have to be able, because there is an over and an under. There has to be a whelmed.
I never hear people just saying, I'm feeling whelmed right now.
Nonplussed.
Yeah, what does that mean? It just means I am...
Nonplussed means ambivalent.
Right, no, I know what nonplussed means, but so whelmed is
would be
equal?
I guess so, yeah. Overwhelmed would be like, yeah.
You're really whelming me right now, Craig.
Well, overwhelmed, I guess whelmed would be, let me look it up.
Idiots Discuss the Universe, the most whelming podcast on the internet. It's not overwhelming, it's not underwhelming, it's simply whelming.
I'm sure it's not officially in use anymore. Whelm. Okay, here we go. We're going mobile for this here, for the definition.
He's on the loose.
Engulf, submerge, or bury. Like, you can, something, someone or something. That's the first
one. That's not at all what I thought it meant.
Or an active instance of flowing or heaping up abundantly, a surge.
Okay, so whelming, it's like it's a verb to, when you're being whelmed, you're being covered in stuff.
So I guess, overwhelmed mean that you're being overly covered.
And drenched.
Drenched.
Life is bukkakeing all over you.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what overwhelmed is.
That makes sense.
But even whelmed doesn't sound that great.
No, I think overwhelmed and whelmed are kind of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just added the over to it, and they both kind of mean the same
really
thing.
Really emphasize.
Mm-hmm. So I was wrong, and I apologize.
You know what? See, life not disappointing me today.
I know.
I was right. See? I was right. It's the small things, folks. It's the little things you got to hold on.
That's it.
Like the little things.
That's all you're going to get are the small things.
That's, you know, that might be true.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
You really got to cherish them.
Yeah. You got to go after the big stuff if you want the big stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, the small things, they really add up.
I do too.
If you can cherish them, then it's like, you know what? Today was a good day. But it's kind of a hard thing to do. So we got these joints.
Yeah. Spencer brought joints.
Yeah.
This is from the, what did you end up calling that strain?
Well, the friend who gave me the strain wanted me to call it Stupid Girl.
Okay.
Because it's like a mix between Trainwreck and Girl Scout. And he's like, and it makes you stupid, so call it Stupid Girl. He's not the brightest. And truly,
I
don't know.
Where did you find your agricultural business partner?
I met him at Uptown Market, which is a beer garden.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay,
good. And he was always the guy who was there. When my friends...
You know, you stop there. Like, anybody that is known as the guy that's always at a bar is really, like,
there.
That's the person. There's
he's
your,
always
there's
there.
Your investor.
And
there's
he's
your...
just, you know, so he's very dependable. You know where he's going to be at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And...
same place you are at 5 o'clock, it sounds like, too.
Well, on this particular occasion, yeah.
Because you know when someone says that there's a guy that's always at a bar, they are also a person that is always at that bar. Because they know... Who's always there?
No.
How else do you know?
I reject it. I've been enough times.
Uh-huh.
And he's there every time.
Right.
And my times are, sometimes I would go to that place, like when I was staying with my friend in that neighborhood, we would go to that place like every day for like a week.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So that doesn't sound like you go there all the time at
no,
all.
No, it's not.
Every day.
Not like Jimmy, okay? But now I haven't been there in like months, but like every time... I go there, whether it's sporadically or regularly, Jimmy is there.
Okay.
So he makes me look like a totally non-regular.
But that's only because you moved out of the neighborhood.
Well, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I would be there a lot more.
Clear on what's going on
all right,
here.
I think you're getting bogged down in the wrong details, Craig. I think you're getting bogged down in the... What I was trying to point out is that my friends and I, we would frequent this bar. Uh-huh. It's a great place, Uptown Market. Great selection, mostly just beer. And this dude, Jimmy... Not trying to put him on blast, but Jimmy's a homie. But sometimes we're like, Jimmy gets like pretty fucking faded. And he also tells some pretty outrageous stories while faded. Like how he tried out for Pearl Jam in the 90s and fucking Eddie Vedder beat him to it. And so we're like, I think he might be full of shit, you know. But he was always very nice and very entertaining. And, and then so... One day he was like, dude, I got some clones of some crazy shit, you know, like my old lady doesn't want me growing them out on the porch in the apartment, you know, so you want one? And I was like, well, like, sure. But kind of just called his bluff on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, he was like, all right, let's go. Like right now. I was like, what? And I drove with him to his apartment and he did have these, like quite a few of these healthy looking clones plants and so I took one and I planted it in my backyard, and our deal was like, all right, you know you grow it and then, you know, give me a little something for when you know for the trouble.
All right, cool.
And I just kind of stuck it in the back and let it go, and that's what we're smoking on today.
All right, cool. Well,
that was a pretty long-winded story, but he wanted to call it Stupid Girl. I don't think that's the right name for it. Didn't we give it a different name?
Yeah, we did give it a different name.
Yeah.
But you never settled on it. I never got the confirmation on it. But we're going to call it Dig Dug, I think.
Oh, yeah, Dig Dug. I want something... I don't know about that. But I do like something having to do with, like, dirt and or like, mud. Like, we should call it Mud Butt.
Mud Butt.
Hey, you ever tried that strain Mud Butt? It'll fucking put you out. But it grew real nice, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was nice not having to worry about any sort of repercussions. Just like, yeah, it's got it right next to my tomato plants.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah, pass me an ashtray. Thank you, sir. That's perfect.
That's hitting the spot right there.
Yeah. It's definitely more on the sedative side, too.
I got it. That's why. I know that. That's why I got it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that was very nice. Thank you, Spencer.
Oh, of course. Just got to get this.
Shake it off here. Get back in the game. Here
just
it comes. Got
to get it started here on the right foot, you know. Got to just loosen up.
Whew. Yeah, so I've been a magnet for sadness for like the last like 5 days. It's just, I'm not going to get into any of the sort of details, but it seems like if you got a sad story or some shit, like you seek me the fuck out like randomly to tell me your sad story. Oh my God. Yeah.
Even at
just
the
for
store?
Example, just for example, yeah. Today I was trying to go to the gym for a nice soak, as I like to do, you know, to kind of take the edge off of the week or whatever. And got out and sat down, and this dude came by that I know vaguely from the gym. And of all the things that he decided to start talking to me about, it was about all the things that his wife was dying of.
Ooh.
And he just wouldn't stop. And it was a really long list.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That's tough, though.
I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
You can't.
Oh, look, a lane's open, and then you just run and jump in the pool. I mean, like, that's what I wanted to do.
All right, bye. Pew.
But, yeah. Yeah, seriously. And, ooh. I mean, there's just, like a wolf in a trap.
That is rough. I don't know what to do in those situations.
I don't either. I don't know.
You got to just sit there and nod.
That's
and,
it. Yeah.
And maybe you're meant to just dwell on the suffering in that moment, I'm glad that's not me. Yeah. I suppose.
Well,
I don't know.
You know what you do is you kind of like paying it forward, you know, because probably someday you're going to be the old dude that wants to, you know what I'm saying? So you just kind of listen and hope that someday somebody's going to be out there listening to you.
Yeah,
yeah, I think
that's if you're a good person. I think that's kind of what you're like. You know what? I can put myself in this person's shoes. I would want someone to at least listen to me at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's your duty as a human being.
But man, it's weird when strangers just unload on you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's not quite to the point that he's a stranger.
Oh, okay.
But he's someone that I've seen like once a week, maybe for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe some days you see him and you don't say a word, and other days you see him and you may chat a little bit, you know, okay. That sort of deal.
Gotcha.
He's an old man at the fucking gym.
He's an acquaintance.
Yeah, he's an old man at the gym. You know, you're not like going out of your way to like, oh, hey, how's
it
going?
Hey. It's fucking Norm.
Let's talk about your knee and how you're feeling. Yeah. Hey,
it's Ernie. How's it going, Ernie?
Oh, I got to put the headphones on before I fucking
what,
get
Ernie?
Cornered.
I can't hear you.
I gotta keep going.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
Oh, bye, Ernie. Damn.
Keep on walking.
But I mean, like with retail and everything, some people... You know, you ask them how's it going today,
yeah.
And they really tell you how it's going.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing I remember about
strangers
unloading. That's like a case where it's okay socially.
Yeah, it's an odd thing. You know, I mean, I think people are kind of looking for that release. There's a lot of times they just don't have anybody to talk to.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And if you're friendly in retail, like that's as close as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know, some people. You know what they do.
What?
They just spill it all out on Twitter and social media.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do it that way, you know, but it's not fulfilling. You don't get it back. You don't get some of that stuff that you need back as a human being like you do from a retail.
Right.
Or like a real living person,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you get something from that interaction that you don't get from social media, even if you're getting like 5 million likes on something.
And praise or...
Not that we would know what that was like. Oh. Thanks, Instagram followers.
Wow. You guys really need to step it up, okay?
Step it up. I mean, how hard is it fucking to just like it a little bit?
Just validate our existence, please. Because without this, we don't know that we are good or that we have any reason to exist.
Exactly.
You know,
we could just like go, we could be going have like a hamburger and like just hang out and be talking like we talk right now.
Yeah, but
we wouldn't have to plug shit in and record it and put music on it.
It would be incredible.
It would be a lot like it was before we started doing this.
That's true. Yeah. Which that was fun.
Well, this does feed our narcissism.
This
just
does.
Not enough. Our narcissism is still hungry. Get on Instagram and like that shit.
That's right.
Follow our Spotify playlist.
That is actually a really good idea, especially if you love music.
Like us and follow us and give us comments on iTunes, too. That's a really important one.
Oh, yeah. Reviews.
Yeah. That's huge.
That is huge. And very good plug, by the way. This has been a grade A plug.
We haven't even started the episode yet.
No, but did you see how I was trying to kind of get there through the Twitter comment? Because some people, they just vomit everything onto Twitter. And you know who's been doing that lately, Craig? Who's other than the big orange meatball?
Yeah. Yeah. Other than the meatball, it's been Kanye.
Kanye West.
Lighten it up.
Yeah. Kanye West.
Uh-huh.
That name carries with it.
Just Ye West.
Just Ye?
No.
Well, no, but it's Kanye. I mean, it's not like Prince.
He officially switched it, I think.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I think
so. Did he really?
To Ye. Yeah.
I mean, I know that's his Twitter handle. I know that was the name of his new album and everything. And I know people call him that, but I think
he officially switched it to just Ye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was doing some research on today's episode, which today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, is Kanye West.
Kanye West.
He is
Kanye West. Kanye West.
As Kanye West will tell you, in a certain sense, he is like the Picasso or the John Lennon of our times in all of its dysfunction and... weirdness and all of it and all of the manic depression of our times is kind of embodied in this dude in a way.
It really does seem like it. I mean, he's been prolific. Like, I think there's a lot of different Kanyes.
You've never known a time in your life where there wasn't a Kanye, have you? He's always kind of been, I mean, I'm trying to figure out like how he, when he hit you, how old he would have.
I was in middle school.
Middle school. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's huge then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when graduation I mean, that's like when I heard of him because I wasn't deep into rap during middle school. Yeah.
But all of his biggest albums came out over that middle school, high school.
He was huge.
And in that, when you're in that period in life, you're in lots of social situations where you have to listen to like the popular, whatever the big music is, which I'm sure he was a big part of.
Oh, yeah, completely. No, I heard him everywhere. And I, to be honest, didn't respect him fully. I feel like me being like this metal, I was like, middle school was when
you
I was in the like, height of my
you
metal.
Are like you are now, just
no,
more.
No, no, Craig.
Yes, I know.
I am,
I can
so
see
much.
It.
I'm so much better now than when I was it. Back then. Back then, it was nothing but fucking Metallica, Iron Maiden, which I'm wearing an Iron Maiden hat. But that's not that doesn't prove your point.
Just
that
like,
doesn't prove your point.
Just like now, more. So
you're right. Actually, that's completely true. It was. I'm just a little more diluted now.
Right.
But
right.
One of those big things. The big changes I learned to respect Kanye West and dove into all that music much more after the fact. Like I remember when 808s and Heartbreak came out, trying to get into that and being like, wait, I thought this guy was a rapper. Like he's this is like a weird robo R&B album.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a big it was a weird choice.
It was a weird choice. Yeah. But then you look back and you see how that's the precursor for like the entire genre right now. Or at least a big part of rap, you know, as far as like the rap singing,
absolutely.
The auto-tune,
absolutely.
You know, the more like low-key underwater beats.
Yeah.
It's
and several of my favorite tracks are off of that album.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. I mean, as a full album, I don't know how many times I can get through it. And really, like, it's not like a couple of his other albums just play better as an album, I think, you know. But, like, the high points of that album are right up there with the high points of any of them.
Yeah.
I think that's for sure.
No, I completely agree. What would you say your favorite Kanye West album is?
My Dark Twisted Fantasy,
yeah.
I think, without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's a great, great album.
Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That one is pretty much a masterpiece all the way through.
Yeah, I can't... I think that's by far. I mean, the other ones are great, but like, I don't know if it's because that was the first one that I really listened to all the way through, you know, because I have to admit, like, I was super like anti Kanye, you know, like I was not super
like when he first
like
came
him.
Out.
Yeah, absolutely. Not when he first came out. No, I heard about him. Like I was kind of disconnected with rap. I mean, if you thought you were kind of not connected to the rap scene at that point, I was super not connected to the rap scene at that point.
Word.
And like, just not paying attention. But like, I knew that like Graduation was like the hot rap album of the year. And it was album of the year, you know, and it come out as like one of the best albums of the decade and a lot of different things. So I knew he was on my radar in that sense. And I knew that he was kind of an obnoxious ass just because, you know, media, you know, but like, I don't know. I mean, and I guess that's what kind of flavored me into not wanting to, just a lot of his boastful shit about like how great he was. You know, I just was predisposed not to like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then one day it just kind of like turned the corner and I'm like, you know, there's just quite a few songs by him that are really freaking good.
Yeah. He's got the brains to back up, at least in my opinion. He seems like a very smart guy and he's got the brains and like enough of a nuanced way of communicating stuff to kind of back up his cockiness or, you know, kind of larger than life personality. Cause I think a lot of, you know, my problem with rap back then was like a lot of rappers have that attitude, but then don't really back it up with any like special knowledge other than just kind of bragging about themselves, you know, whereas I feel like Kanye, you know, spun a lot of stories and maybe wasn't trying to be like a moral leader necessarily, but was given has always given a very multifaceted, nuanced, like,
well, I
a
think
lot
what,
different perspectives.
I think what Kanye did, like, now that I've kind of looked back at it and kind of listened to the whole thing and kind of placed it in history with the other stuff that I was, because I mean, I listened to like Wu-Tang and some other things at that time, you know, I just wasn't like, that just wasn't what I was, Kanye just wasn't what I was interested in, but now that I kind of, he kind of brought in like the suburban black experience into rap in a way that is way more prevalent now than it ever was.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different... He's not a street rapper,
right?
By any stretch of the imagination, and he's not a gangster rapper by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah,
he's like a music school rapper in a sense. Like he was kind of like what Tupac Shakur was, but Tupac Shakur took on this persona of being like a street thug when really what he was like a Juilliard level like skilled kid in acting and singing and all that shit, you know. He was gifted and people knew he was gifted from the very beginning, and he took on a persona to sell records. Kanye never quite did that, you know. I mean, he kind of was crazy enough in his own way that he just kind of like flew with what he was, you know, and that was like this weird like suburban from an edge, super educated family with a super like politically active educated family and lots of access to art and all that sort of stuff. And he just really like
really strong female figures in his life too. You know, like he's always talking about his mom and his grandma.
It's pretty amazing. And then his dad was a Black Panther, which I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
That was amazing too.
Damn.
And he was really close with his dad, except that he moved away, you know, and then once he got into music, he stopped going back in the summers because he was just like focused like a laser.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that like I super identify with now, but I wish that I would have like had that. Like that's one thing that, like he had it like when you need it, like when you're 16 years old, like he's like, I'm gonna be a music producer and a rapper.
Yeah.
And he knew that that's what he fucking wanted to do, and he threw every ounce of everything that he did from that point forward towards that goal, like in this crazy person obsessive way. And it was a fucking tough, I mean, you know the story of like him getting signed to the record label and all, how it fell through and all the different stuff and how much he still had to like fight to get Graduation out.
Yeah.
Even after he'd been signed, because they wanted him to just keep doing beats for everybody else. You know, they wanted another, what's his name? The guy that wrote the raps for everybody in the '80s.
Grandmaster Flash.
No, not Grandmaster Flash. He had one hit that was his own, oh God.
Africa Bambaataa.
No, African Bambaataa wrote his own. I won't think of it. I won't think of it. God damn, I can almost. Fuck. It's so close. It's just so close.
Damn. Was it? Is it
Young MC? Look up Young MC.
Young MC?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's the guy. And he wrote for other people. He was a ghostwriter for so many other people.
Oh, he's British too. Young MC.
Yeah. That's a great song. Really
Bust a move.
Really super smooth flow and everything. Yeah.
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 So you're saying that the same sort of thing happened to Young MC that happened to Kanye.
Yeah, but Young MC didn't break out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like he only had like that. Well, here's, you can put out a single or whatever, but he kind of like was a powerhouse as far as a writer and all that sort of stuff for a lot of other acts that came and went, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that they could exploit or do whatever they could do.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, like, and Kanye just didn't settle for that shit, but he used it for everything that he could, you know. That selling beats is an interesting thing.
It definitely is. I mean, those guys end up getting signed to labels just like any other like artist would.
Yeah.
But absolutely. You're kind of more just behind the scenes and, you know, like a factory.
Do you get your name on the albums if you write the beats for them sometimes or not?
Yeah. But I think it depends. I think it depends on how much clout you have as an artist yourself. Sure. Yeah, you know, if you're super young, you probably just have to churn them out and they'll pay you.
Yeah.
But I mean, legally they have to put it on at least the copyright, but they don't necessarily have to publish it. You know, in the credits of the album or something.
Huh, okay.
So I'm sure, I don't know, I'm sure that was happening to Kanye before you know, before, while he was still working his way up.
Yeah.
The ladder.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for a fact that there were lots that he sold that he didn't get any credit for. Because I kind of have like a little bit of a bio for him. Do you know a lot about his early life?
Not a ton.
Okay. So like he was raised on the south side of Chicago and he went to this arts school. And he was super into drawing and like writing poems at the beginning of his life. And his parents, I guess, split up sometime in there. And at 10, he went and he lived in China for a year.
What?
And I guess at some point in that time, he learned to break dance really good. And so he started making people pay him to watch him break dance when he was like 10 or 11 or whatever.
In China?
I guess in China and back when he got back to Chicago and everything. And then he won some talent show with his hip hop act that he created. And at 12 was when he started the keyboard. He got his first keyboard and he started to just go crazy, just like super focused.
Yeah.
He started like sometime in high school, he started selling beats from like somewhere between $50 to $100 a beat. Mm. Would do like two or three a day, just all the time. He was not super like a great student other than like art class,
yeah,
and gym, yeah. And the rest of the time he just didn't give a shit. But at one point he met this producer that I'm not familiar with, but I guess was a big deal in the Chicago scene at that time, called No ID. Are you familiar with this guy?
Not really.
Yeah. Well, anyway, like he met this guy and like this guy kind of showed him how to like really produce in like a real studio and kind of some other things. And Kanye started this band that has the most fucking horrible name ever. The Go-Getters. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. It's a little on the nose.
The Go-Getters.
The Go-Getters.
Yeah, it's so like 1930s.
Yeah, we're the Go-Getters.
We're the Go-Getters. See, we're gonna blast you out of town with our baseball skills. You know, like I mean, that's so like.
I got my hair slicked back and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take a nice lady out because I'm a Go-Getter.
Yeah, so I guess he started the Go-Getters and like he got a lot of gigs and stuff around Chicago. He got went to Chicago State at that time and only pretty much went to his music class.
Wow.
And then he started like this thing where he hired all the, I don't know what exactly happened, but he started like this promo with this other guy, this No ID guy. And they actually got like, he was one of the few people that was able to get like an independent song on radio at that time. It was super like amazing thing that he actually got it on like the main radio station, Chicago. Cause it was like a nationally syndicated, like you play exactly what we fucking tell you to play. Like it was one of those things, but he had people picketing the radio station for like days.
Really?
And eventually like they had like this, here's one for the local audience of Chicago or whatever. And they played this song, Oh, which I've never heard. But that got on the radio and that got like the attention of like a lot of people in rap.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so he sold like his first real beat after that to this other rapper that I have no idea about either, named Jerome Dupri. You ever heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Yeah, really?
Yes. Okay. Jermaine Dupri.
Jermaine? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote that down wrong. Jermaine Dupri. Okay.
Yeah.
I wrote it down both ways, actually, in these two little notes here.
Okay.
But, yeah, Jermaine Dupri, he wrote this for $5,000, and he kind of thought that he'd made it, I guess, at this point. So he dropped out of school and met with this record studio in Columbia.
Columbia Records.
Yeah, Jermaine Dupri was signed with Columbia, and so they got this big deal with them. They really liked the song. It was a hit or whatever they used it for. Like, it really worked out well. So Columbia was thinking about signing him on as somebody to do beats for them, right? So Kanye, being Kanye, goes to this meeting, right? And he's just, like, trying to sell himself, you know, just telling him how fucking great he is. And in the process of like doing this, he brings up Jermaine Dupri and he's like, you know, I'm not going to be like this, like, you know, James, you think Jermaine Dupri is great? Like, man, I'm going to, well, he just starts kind of talking some shit on Jermaine Dupri. Right. And unbeknownst to Kanye, Jermaine Dupri's father was one of the executives at Columbia Records that was sitting at that meeting at that time.
No way.
So even though they were all set up to sign him and they wanted to sign him and everything, they're like, yeah, we'll call you. And they never called him.
Damn.
Yeah. So we went back home to work at home. And wow. Sold beats for a while, saved up his money, and then he moved to New Jersey. And then he started selling beats in New York, just like super. He had enough money for like 2 months rent. And he went to New York and just fucking like sold beats to everybody, tried to meet whoever he could meet. And Rockefeller started to like buy quite a few of his of his beats. And eventually he met Jay-Z.
Gotcha.
And that was the break, because he produced most of the Blueprint album.
He did.
Yeah, that was his initial foray. That laid the groundwork for, you know, Graduation being such a great album, is that he was the person that did almost all of the big songs off of the Blueprint.
Damn.
Which is considered like really probably one of the greatest albums of that generation of rap, for sure.
Oh, seriously. That's like the one. That's the defining Jay-Z album.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in a lot of ways, like Kanye had an integral part in the creation of that album.
Interesting. I had no idea.
See, I taught you something.
He produced four of the tracks on the album.
But four of the big tracks.
Okay.
Read off the tracks.
Yeah, he did Izzo, which that's H to the Izzo, V to the Izze. Takeover, which was like a diss towards Nas and Prodigy. I don't know which other ones he did, but those two alone were like two of the biggest songs.
Gems.
Totally.
And that kind of set him on his way, but they still had not signed him to that. And they just wanted him to kind of be the guy that wrote beats for him and helped produce a little bit.
Yeah.
But that really made him a sought after producer by a lot of people. So he started to work with all sorts of everybody after that point. And he'd always show up early, and he'd start to work on his own album, because he started working on Graduation at this point. And then he would stay late and work on his own thing. And the first song that he tried to sell to everybody was Jesus Walks, which is so weird. And like nobody would touch it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's about Jesus.
Right. It's religious and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a deal breaker. Right. Like crazy.
It's very hard to sell this, Mr. West. It's a very specific demographic. If you want to be a Christian rapper, we can make it happen. But you know what? The rest of your stuff, it doesn't fly.
But it's weird. Like, that song is not necessarily like a Christian. Like, the Christians aren't going to like that song very much either. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is the demographic for that? Like, the cuckoo bird? Maybe Prince? I mean, Prince's brand of Christianity might be just like enough to kind of like, okay, I get
more
it.
More spiritual than religious, you know?
Yeah. And, I think it's a great, great, great song, but like that's a weird one to lead with.
That is kind of a bizarre one to lead with.
And then Capitol started looking at him, and this guy named 3H, who was like 12 years old, like in this interview, he's like, this dude, like, hang on. And then I met Kanye, and this is like well afterwards, and this guy still looks like he's 20 years old. This guy's seriously like 20 now, so he must have been like 11 when he was trying to get like Kanye into the business.
Wow.
But
the fuck?
You know, and it just never quite could go through. Like, it just, every time there was some other, like, they just didn't like the Jesus thing, and they kind of just sensed danger. I think Kanye kind of gave people that sort of stuff, like jumping up on tables and just being super like Kanye, like, kind of said a lot of like, maybe we don't want to
deal with this guy every day.
I think there was maybe some of that going on, you know. He was so obsessed and weird that like it was one of those things. But then he called, like, after that fell through, he called Rockefeller and he's like, hey, can I get a deal to do whatever? And they gave him a deal to be like a rapper and a producer guy. And they didn't really have any intention of ever letting him rap. And he just kept working on the music or everything, and working before and after these shifts, like I was saying, you know. So he'd work these super long days, and then he'd go back and he'd work all night at his hotel room. Damn. And just be super tired. And that was the point when he got into the fucking car wreck, which is a huge deal, I think, in our later discussion about Kanye and some of the behaviors that he exhibits and some of the stuff. Because I think it was also like a kind of a shift, but he got like kind of bashed up bad. And that's where the song Through the Wire comes from, because he's talking through his rewired jaw.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is.
But like, that's a serious head injury.
Some head trauma.
In a way.
Yeah.
That like, who knows what happens after that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some scary stuff.
That's very true. It's not going to be the same after that.
But I mean, it hardly slowed him down. I mean, he was like seriously working again, like, right, as obviously because he like recorded himself through the fucking wire in his mouth while he was rapping. He couldn't even move his mouth.
So crazy. So that was on Graduation.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the song that he released as the first single. With his own money, he like rented, like, you know, he just put it out. And the guy from Rockefeller that ran Rockefeller that didn't like was felt like the whole kind of party was a diss at him kind of showed up, but he realized like how much people.
Oh, Through the Wire's on College Dropout.
College Dropout.
That's his first album. Yeah.
That's his first album.
Yeah. Just to clarify that, because I said it was on Graduation.
Oh, right. No, it's on his first album. Right. College Dropout.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And it was his Makes first. Sense. It was his first single.
Right.
Ever too.
Damn.
Yeah. So. And I don't. I mean, I don't. That's not one of my favorite ones by him, but that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy, and you can also kind of hear how he really is. You know, he's got his mouth kind of shut like this.
No, I thought I thought it was a different like a guest rapper, because I don't know who any of those people are.
Right.
You know.
Sure.
And so I was like, why not? It could be, I guess, somebody, and like, but it wasn't. It was Kanye. That's interesting. Yeah.
And he's got all like on his debut album, he's got all the best, like at that time, all of the most like. Lyrical and like woke, I guess you could say, for like, you know, 2004 rappers of the time, like Jay-Z, Talib Kweli, Common, he got Ludacris on a song, Mos Def, you know. Yeah. Those are all like the heavyweights of the time. Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah.
It's crazy he got them all on his debut album.
Yeah. I mean, he was already, you know, already situated for
right.
sure for sure.
Yeah.
How
old was he when College Dropout came out? Let's see. He was born in 1977. College Dropout is in 2004, so
77, he would have been 26.
Hmm.
25, 26.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it was.
Yeah. So, no, wait. I was in 2004, I was 32, and he's 6 years younger than me, so he'd been 28.
28? Really?
Yeah.
It's funny, just because when you think about rap today, you got to be like 14, like the youngest the younger and younger, like, you know, the crazier it is, it's a novelty, really,
right.
But it's, you know, but this is someone who is not only incredible, like, he's had, like, incredible longevity for an artist.
Right. Right. It would have been like if the Go-Getters would have got picked up and Kanye would have been like a huge dance sensation when there was like a dance, you know what I'm saying? And that was his thing.
And you like never would have heard of him.
Or you may have, would have been like, you know, it would have been like whatever.
Sure. Who knows what would have happened.
Imagine or one of those other like 2000s rap singing bands that came and went.
And I'm not familiar with Imagine.
Oh, you would really like them. Shorty, you keep playing with my mind. You don't know that one?
Ooh, no. That's awesome, man.
No, it is awesome. Yeah. It's an incredible.
Does it go like, Shorty, you keep playing with my mind? Yeah.
No, it goes, Shorty, you keep playing with my mind. I keep dancing all the time.
That sounds pretty close to what I was doing. Shorty, you keep playing with my mind. I keep dancing all the time. Oh my God.
Oh, there we go. Imagine. There's no E at the end. No E at the end, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, shit. Dude. All right. This is sick. That's totally what I thought it would. That's kind of what I hummed at first, though.
Yeah. No, you had it at the beginning.
Maybe I was with you before.
I was with you.
Okay.
You changed it up, though.
I did change it up. You didn't hear it all completely. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm still surprised I got that.
And that's the natural. I mean, they just took the natural rhythm of saying, "Shorty, you keep playing with my mind."
Sure.
That's a good saying. That's a good saying.
That is a good saying.
The melody came after the words on that one. Tell you what. But since Kanye,
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing.
Well, a lot of stuff has happened since. I think honestly, Kids See Ghosts is my favorite album by him, even though it's not really.
It is.
Just, I mean, it is him.
In a certain way, it is. Yeah.
Honestly, that's like.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I really think it's going to be looked at as like a legendary album. Way ahead of its time, in the same way that, you know, Graduation, 808s and Heartbreak. Graduation, like, defined the entire, like, 2010s kind of rap, you know?
Yeah.
And then 808s and Heartbreak was, like, people were, like, scratching their heads at that. And then that's, like, where Drake gets his whole sound from.
Yeah.
You know?
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. And then, and now with both Ye and Kids See Ghosts, which he released this year, like, Ye is an experimental hip-hop. Kids See Ghosts is like an alt-rock album, you know? In a lot of ways.
It's got some...
Comparatively to other Kanye projects.
Right.
He has, you know, always incorporated interesting instrumentation and rock elements, you know, that song Runaway.
Oh, absolutely. You know. I mean, I think he was super obsessed with all forms of music in a way that a lot. I mean, like, in that first album, isn't there a Steely Dan? There's a song that, like, really, like, samples a Steely Dan song.
I don't know, but that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Which was a bold move. I mean, Steely Dan's been used in rap forever, but, like, it was the whole vocal. I mean, it was kind of swapped it out. It's interesting.
Huh.
I don't know where I was coming from.
That he was always incorporating elements of rock.
Yeah.
And no. It's the rock thing that I like.
And the
about.
Music is the best part about Kanye still. I mean, like, Kanye, I get why they didn't really, like, they weren't super wowed about his rap. You know, I get it still. I mean, it's, I like it more now, but, like, the music has always been the part about it. Even for someone like me, I think that's why it took time, is because I definitely, like, you can really understand what Kanye's saying, and a lot of it is fucking really awful and stupid. You know, I mean, a lot of it. You know, it's like,
I don't think so.
I kind of do.
I think maybe if you take it, like, 100% face value, like, take a lot of what he says literally, especially in his raps, like, then it does come across maybe as arrogant and ill-informed and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And we're not even talking about his tweets. I'm just talking about his
raps. Just his
rap.
Just the, like, lyrics of his songs.
Like, I get that. But then there's also this, I don't know, at least flashes of being very self-aware, very tongue-in-cheek, saying some things about himself or making observations that another rapper could never, ever do. And he balances the two because, like, it'd be so easy to fall into the trap of, within the rap community, being like that art school kid who just, like, can't stand up for himself. And, like, yeah, he's, like, really introverted and introspective and comes up with good observations, but he's not very self-confident kind of a thing. But it takes it to, like, he's that, but he's also got the confidence and arrogance that, you know, was associated with rappers at that time.
But
you know what I mean?
But he's, like, also got, like, the guy that is living out in a shed and making clothes out of animal hair.
He does have some very manic energy at times.
He has some of that going on, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, that kind of plays into it in the sense that...
That's interesting.
Occasionally, it'll be like, oh, there's a keen insight. There's a keen insight. And then there's something that is just absolutely... positively misled and super false. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot like, I don't know. It's interesting in that sense because he's not like a John Lennon or something that had, like, a clear, like, message. A lot of those people that transcend the rock genre will have, like, this clear persona and this thing that they emulate. And he has been, like, super erratic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's the thing that he emulates, is this erratic behavior.
Yeah.
You know, that in the sense that that's the thing that's worked for him, is that he's, in a sense, he, in the same, the great, in the same way that it's worked for like the great meatball, in mm-hmm. in the sense that he is mm-hmm. this erratic, headline making,
unpredictable,
semi crazy person.
Yeah.
That it just always seems to flow in their way, because in a certain sense, like that, you know, that there's something that they win or whatever, you know.
Right.
They come out ahead, or they do quite well most of the time.
Right.
They recover from their blows.
I mean, readily. at least with Kanye, it seems like he will, you know, and he's always done this, drum up a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's related to what he wants to sell you as far as his product or whatever, he's just going to make sure his name is everywhere. So that, and then right after that will come an album or an announcement mm-hmm, of some mm-hmm, kind, you mm-hmm. know, and yeah, that, I think that's just a, an honestly pretty smart PR tactic, whether or not it comes across as manic, or a lot of people are going to think he is crazy and or going to disagree with him so violently or intensely that they will make posts about it themselves, and they'll spend a lot of their day reading articles and get really emotional about it. And I don't know if that's the intention that he's trying to have, or if it's completely just by accident, you know, but it he's been doing this for a while, you know, mm-hmm. like with the George Bush doesn't care about black people thing after Hurricane Katrina, with the with the grabbing the mic from Taylor Swift and being like
part of that. Best part of that George Bush doesn't care about black people is the look on Mike Myers' face. Like I fucking watched that clip for fucking ever.
It's
that
so true.
Dude, like fucking goes like just, oh, he's just 50 like, Shades oh, of White. Fuck. Just fucking, oh,
oh man.
Fuck. What am I?
He's like, I'm just so out of my element right now.
What is going on?
This is not okay. Yeah. I mean, damn, though. Like that, he's been doing this stuff for a while.
And I think that there is.
The Taylor Swift, that was the other thing. Sorry, I forgot about that. But that was the other one. You know, the big one.
Oh, that's one of them.
There's the George Bush one. There's the Taylor Swift one. Those are the ones I remember.
He had a big fight with Jimmy Kimmel, didn't he?
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Good, because I fucking hate Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel is problematic
in
a lot
of ways.
Bag. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's a total dirtbag.
I think he's a dirtbag. Everyone seems to conveniently like have forgotten when he was on The Man Show, you know, with Adam Carolla, which I thought had its funny moments, but it's just silly how there's like all this hypocrisy. Like
right.
Jimmy Kimmel is like the woke guy now.
He was a trash raker for a long time.
He used to literally try to grab women by their pussies on the street.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that was a segment in the Man Show.
That was a segment in the Man Show.
Where he'd be like, guess what's in my pants? You know, shit that today, like, oh, you're sexual harassment, boom, you're locked away. Or at least,
that would never fly. That would never fly. Yeah, no, I think the Taylor Swift is the biggest thing, you know. And then was Beck the next year when he kind of came up on the stage? And then he said Beck had to give it, should have given it to Beyonce, just giving it.
Oh, he said that too.
I don't know who that was. He said that.
I don't remember that. Yeah, I remember his tweet.
He told someone that they should just give it to the person that should have won.
Oh, well, that was Taylor Swift.
Oh,
that was when he walked up when she got one, and he's like, yo, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Taylor, but
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, but Beyonce totally should have won. Beyonce totally should have won. She deserves it more than anything. Everyone's like, oh, shit.
That was when Beyonce's video was one of the best videos of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's right. He was right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. That's all this stuff. Like, yes, it's manic. It's an unpredictable delivery. It comes across as a little bit unhinged sometimes. But when you just good percentage of what he was saying back then.
Here's a lesser known incident of that very same thing that he did. And tell me what you think of this.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. There was a best video award for some lesser awards show that Kanye was at and up for this award. And Kanye was up for best video, and they didn't give it to him. They gave it to a French band named Simian Mobile Disco, which I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys, but they're quite good. They're fucking pretty cool.
Sounds cool.
And Kanye, of course, goes up on stage and interrupts the ceremony, and like he starts this one out. Yo, you know, no disrespect, I've not seen your video. But man, I should have won that motherfucker, you know, like in the same breath.
Damn.
You know, and like, okay, it's okay to be like super egotistical if you and do that sort of thing. Like if that's your opinion, to be obnoxious or anything, but like watch both the videos.
Yeah. You know,
maybe like that Simian Mobile Disco video is the best video that's ever, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't, that's crazy, crazy person stuff. And like, why are you not watching the other videos you're up against in the award ceremony? I mean, are you that famous that you can't like watch him in the limo on the way over?
Oh, I mean, he's probably in a head trip. You can't watch him. You can't even give him the time of day. I don't even want to consider them winning. And so when it does happen,
but
he's
then,
just
but
like
then keep your mouth shut. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where it breaks down for me. That like, oh my god, other rappers don't do that shit either.
You're right. You are very right about that.
And that's a new level of like this. It's almost a delusions of grandeur level of egotism.
Yeah.
And it stops being this boasting to being like, I'm a little bit fucking touched in the brain.
Yeah.
And I just think that I am the shit.
Right.
Have you ever seen that clip of Dave Chappelle talking about the first time that he met Kanye?
I don't know that I've seen that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Because, I mean, Kanye, like, Dave Chappelle invites this new guy over to, like, watch the new season, the first show of the new season with a bunch of, like, this, like, I think it's, like, Nas and some, like, other, like, these other, like, big rapper dudes. Like, it was, like kind of a thing, you know? And Dave Chappelle, like, was, like, the biggest person in, like, black entertainment and arguably, like, entertainment at all at that time, because that was, like, the second season of the Dave Chappelle show, and he was, like, the hottest thing out there at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that was a huge deal. And I guess that from the story, like, Kanye just, like, wouldn't fucking, like, get off the phone with other things, and he was just like totally acted like he was just like this other
just above them all,
right?
Yeah.
You know, weird.
That is weird. That's pretty
and
crazy.
I guess someone called him and like he took the call like right in the middle of them all hanging out or whatever, which was really weird too. And he was just like, you know, yeah, he just like, I'm hanging out with these people, like, and like, he kind of just,
yeah,
he didn't,
no,
like,
I'm not doing anything. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. And Dave Chappelle, he's like, you know, and eventually, like, the guy presses, like, who he's hanging out with, and he's like, oh, you know, and he just kind of mentions, like, Dave Chappelle's like, you know, that was the first time in, like, years when I was with somebody that was, like, saying that they were hanging out with me, that I didn't feel like that they were name dropping me. It was like that I was like this annoying person that was like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that it was a weird thing that I've never heard anybody, like, I'm hanging out with Dave Chappelle and Nas and like all these other annoying fuckers,
right,
you know, that are just keeping me down, that are lowering the average of like the brilliance in the room. You know, it was kind of weird.
But now that you put it that way, I kind of admire that too.
And there's something about it, but it's crazy person stuff.
It's
not attached to like any like reasonable assessment of reality. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There's something admirable about like, I don't know. It's like the crazy, like it's like Sir Isaac Newton, who would be up for days just like writing in his books and fucking looking at shit. And like, there's something admirable about that because I'm not capable of that. Like I've got to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like I've got like human limitations that like, I think that sometimes like people like that don't have, they go beyond that because they don't have like that part of their brain that has like that self-doubt at all. I mean, at all.
Yeah. Or if they do, you know, like I think is the case with Kanye, it's like crippling, you know.
Oh, do you think so?
Oh, well, yeah. I think he's the, you know, he's been diagnosed with bipolar. So you only have to, like, when you look back at all this stuff, it's complete manic behavior.
Right.
You know, like a manic depressive type personality, bipolar, manic depression.
Sure.
Like, you know, so, and maybe he's someone who is still productive during his low periods, you know, but I don't know, just in general, I wouldn't be surprised if he's even got like a touch of, you know, like autism, like on the spectrum in that way.
Or the, you know, or the car, as well. Or the car crash.
Or the car crash. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be a little bit something.
For sure.
In there. Rattled, know, who knows?
Rattled the brains a little
who
bit.
Who knows?
Yeah. But, you know, like, I just think, yeah, he's a complicated guy. And I don't know. I would laugh at anyone who is trying to convince me that he's some sort of, you know, like a Jesus character or the, like the Messiah or someone who we should follow everything they say and do, you know, sorry, that was very confusingly worded. I'm trying to pull a Kanye right now.
Are you pro Kanye is Jesus or anti Kanye?
I'm anti Kanye is Jesus.
Okay, good. Okay.
I would laugh that at someone.
I was like, whoa, what?
No. I would laugh at someone who was trying to convince me of that.
Right.
You know. But I think still, though, I'm not trying to take away from the mind blowing, what I think is genius, or at least as close as you can get to it, artistry and proliferism. How do you say prolificness? Is that a word? Prolificness.
Yeah.
The sheer amount of creativity that he's been capable of achieving, and the way he's played the game, to be honest, and it's just like no one else could really do it that way, it seems like. And maybe it's not the best way or the most honorable way, but it's completely the Kanye West kind of way. Like, it seems like he's the only person who could get away with something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that isn't to be admired, like, oh, we should all go be arrogant and interrupt people and be boastful, but maybe there's certain things about it, like the laser focus and the unflinching self-confidence in certain situations have done this dude a lot of favors, you know? But
have they? I mean, I think can see kind of a decline of Kanye over the last, I mean,
see, this
like,
is where
I don't
we disagree.
Know. I don't see like these new albums. I see these new albums as being artistically very interesting, but from a psychological level, I mean, especially Ye. I mean, Ye is a dark fucking album.
Yeah,
dude.
Totally.
I mean, like, I don't know that he is in like a happier in any way.
Yeah,
I mean, especially since like the Paris thing happened with Kim Kardashian and all of that. I mean, I think his mind broke a little bit after that for sure.
Yeah.
But like, and if you look at his look at his release dates too on his albums, like it slowed down. Like once he got married to Kim Kardashian and that thing happened, not that I'm blaming that,
sure,
but that was a change of gears.
Yeah.
And the album stopped coming out every year, every 2 years, and they started coming out every like four. Or he's like Tool. He's turning into rapping Tool almost. Except for this last year, he kind of redeemed himself with So Much.
I see what you're saying, though.
But it's really
in the rap world, it's a long time.
It is a long
time. Yeezus was in 2013, and that's around when he got married to Kardashian, right?
Okay.
Kim?
Okay.
I believe. Maybe a little after that. But then 3 years later is The Life of Pablo.
Okay.
Which that's a crazy cool album. Like heady, you know, weird, like you're saying. And then 2 years after that, he did both Ye and Kids See Ghosts. And along with the Pusha T album he produced and the Nas album. And I don't know.
Okay, so maybe I'm full of it.
Well, considering the whole fashion stuff that he's, I guess, legitimately trying to do and been moderately, I mean, seems like he's been successful. I don't know shit about fashion, but
people love his shoes.
People love his goddamn shoes.
Yeah, that's
they're willing to shell out who the fuck knows how much, you know, on that shit.
It's insane.
Yeah,
I don't like those shoes that much.
They look
shoes. I don't get it.
They look like orthopedic. Yeah.
They look like they're orthopedic sneakers.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like, you know,
like colors that I would never be able to find other clothes that would even go remotely with
that's
them.
That's the point. You got to buy the Yeezus tracksuit with it.
My God, you're going to look like Easter morning, you know, threw up on Christmas something. It's just horrible.
That's right. That's what you want. You want to turn heads, you know?
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Well, okay. All I'm saying though is that that you're right.
And he had that one fashion line that everybody looked like they were all like in a futuristic, like,
like post-apocalyptic.
Post-apocalyptic. It was all like ripped brown cloth. It reminded me of that. That was interesting.
You know, I still respect him a lot.
No, I do.
To do that.
You know,
but
it's weird that he does have like an artistic vision that is quite alien to mine.
Yeah.
I have to say that for sure.
Sure.
If it is a consistent artistic, you know, there is a possibility that like it is like this consistent artistic persona that he has created once he knew that he was going to be like a famous rapper, like this is how it has to go, because he's obsessed enough to do that, you know what I mean, and he knows like you say, it's all calculated. That's possible.
Yeah.
In the same sense that like Donald Trump's every move is also possibly super calculated, and he's like looking at every possible nuance of all of it, and he's playing the game like six steps ahead of everybody else. That is also possible, just like it's possible that Kanye is doing that. But again, like if you really weigh it and watch it, is it likely? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I think
it's not as bad as people sell it to you, that he's just an absolute rave, because you're right, man. He shows up like right before an album comes out. Shit starts to get crazy. Yeah. He puts on the Trump hat. Yeah. And he shows up at the White House.
Well, that was just this year's controversy stirring.
Right. But he's done it so many times. And he's used Trump quite a bit in the last
in the last
if you're Kanye, what do you use? The only thing bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing that you can really hitch your... What is Kanye going to hitch a ride on?
Right.
You know, to boost
And the only thing that's still, you know, somewhat taboo in a lot of the world, you know?
Right.
Or you'll actually get a shocking reaction from people. You know, people read about horrible things happening in the news all the time. It's very hard to surprise people, but all Kanye had to do was be like, you know what, I'm kind of pro-Trump
A famous black person that said that George W. Bush doesn't care about black people is now pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to pay attention to that.
Yeah. Totally. And there was one thing you said earlier that I thought was interesting. That was, he's not necessarily in a happy place.
I don't get that.
I would agree with you. But that was not necessarily what I was trying to get at when I said that his arrogance and his, you know, his, I don't know what other way to describe it other than just complete self-confidence, you know, to a borderline narcissist level, how that's helped him in some ways, not necessarily become like a happy go lucky person, but execute a consistent artistic vision with like the kind of ruthlessness that might be required and insanity in order to like make something new, make sure it's the thing you hear in your head so it doesn't get diluted by a bunch of other people, you know, and then at the whole time have that unflinching self, that narcissism to like believe that's like what's fueling you to being a dick to all these people, to like lasering in on the final product, which I mean, time and time again, proved to be pretty incredible. At least, even if it's not your cup of tea, it's like the breadth of material that he's released and continues to experiment. I'm like, damn, that's what I respect out of him. I don't necessarily think he's like a Buddha figure, like someone to be replicated if you want to be at peace with yourself.
Oh, right, right.
That's not what I mean in any way. Like, he's not like a moral guiding light in that sense, but he is like, he's still this interesting force to be respected, you know?
But you have to admit that he is more than that to the culture than a rapper.
Yeah.
You know, he is like, I mean, you keep saying you don't believe that, but he does embody this sort of like, if not like not a Buddha or a Christ sort of figure, he does have this he's gonna be like, you know, one of the great people remembered from this period of time in pop culture history.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be like an Elvis or a Marilyn Monroe. He's like one of those. He's one of those.
Completely.
You know, he's Madonna.
And
he's
I agree with that.
You know, absolutely.
I just think people who are, and even himself, who are, if he's trying to raise himself even above that,
you have to be more than write great music in order. You have to have more about you than write great music in order to transcend to this level of like where you become like an embodiment of the culture's identity.
Right.
Because he's more than Kanye in a way. Like Kim Kardashian is more than Kim Kardashian now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is like if you were making a collage of what is early 21st century culture about, you know, there'd be big pictures of both of them in that collage, you know, just to emphasize that sort of thing, because their characteristics and their personality traits perfectly embody some of the, you know, the trending personality traits that are being cultivated in our society right now. That narcissism, that kind of manic depressive. I mean, manic depression is fucking Facebook's fucking business plan.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally is. Mm-hmm. That's the only time that you ever would put anything on there for the most part is when you're super happy about something or when you're super sad about something. That is it. There is never like, I am watering the fucking lawn and it's okay. You know, that you just don't see that shit on social media.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.